Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July 27th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances critical. Your involvement essential if we want to restore the republic, ladies and gentlemen. You can't put the republic on autopilot. You got to get involved in a meaningful way. It is about God, family, I believe, to solve the problems in country, if you will. So we're playing back interviews that I recorded, fresh content from Freedom Fest. And it's great content, by the way. And the next interview is Howard Lichtman, who does a great job, in my opinion. The guy's an anarchist, an extreme libertarian, if you will. What I find interesting about the anarchist term is these guys don't use the word anymore, because anarchist means riot in the streets and create havoc and just total anarchy. That's not what these people believe. Becky Akers on with us once a month, Howard Lichtman, many others, libertarians to the extreme, if you will. They just don't believe government is the answer, and it's hard to argue that they're wrong. Anyway, the reason that I bring all this up is because they're just the opposite of anarchists. A lot of the people like this are just like, hey, the problem is force. We don't want any force. The zero aggression movement, said Jim Babka. All the live and let live, say these other people. They're non-aggressive. They don't want violence. But yet we claim their movement is all about violence. It's very sad. When I say we, I mean this society at large, not necessarily me, Sam Bushman, of course. But anyway, I like Howard Lichtman, I like Becky Akers, and I like a lot of these people because I think they're critical thinkers. And I don't agree with them completely because I do believe there is a proper role for constitutional government. However, why don't we get rid of 90% of the government before we debate the rest, huh? Because we know that 90% is unconstitutional. So let's just start there and then we'll worry about our differences later. That way we can work together and make a difference. Anyway, here's the interview with Howard Lichtman on your radio. Happy to have you along, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live, freedomfest.com. Having a fantastic time. Hope you are as well. If you didn't get a chance to come in person, you're going to have FOMO, fear of missing out. I'll tell you that right now. But if you didn't get to make it, you can go to freedomfest.com, get their live streaming opportunity. I think they'll make some files available after the fact, too, so you can kind of check that out. And then, of course, Liberty Roundtable Live coverage always available at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. Howard Lichtman back with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is a voluntarist. He believes that we don't need government force. Force is bad and evil. And I agree. Force is bad and evil. Agency choice is king. TheThickRedLine.org, his website for this event. He's also written a book about, hey, all government's horrible government. It's a big old con, a scam, if you will. Isn't it called Government Scam, Howard?
Government, the biggest scam in history exposed at government-scam.com.
And yes, it is one of the greatest scams in history. And I would say, a little different than Howard, is that unconstitutional government is the biggest scam in history. But you have joined our next forum for officers coming up next week. We'll talk about that. Tell me about it.
So the Thick Red Line Project is our effort to support police to say no to politicians on lockdowns, mask mandates, red flag laws, and other victimless crimes. And it came out of civil disobedience we did for the COVID in Santa Cruz County, California last year in April and May when we went into hospitals in what the LA Times called was the epicenter of COVID in California, Santa Clara. And we found empty tents, empty waiting rooms, hospital employees openly speculating the whole thing was a hoax. And then we went into Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz, found the same thing, empty tents, empty waiting rooms. After that video went viral, they took down the tents the next day. We realized that the government and the media wasn't telling us the truth about what was going on with COVID. And we started to organize to try and help business owners that were being bankrupted by the lockdowns and the mask mandates, and we began peaceful civil disobedience in Santa Cruz.
That's Santa Cruz, California?
That's Santa Cruz, California.
All right, so when they got caught in the scam of just pretending that COVID is killing everybody, that all the hospital beds are full, it's just like a riot out front with almost dead people trying to get in, all this kind of stuff, and you went there and it was like empty and What are the doctors and the physicians and the people? These people have licenses and stuff, right? I'm not really backing licensing, but I'm making a point here for a second, right?
Mm-hmm. I think the part of the reason they're getting away with it is that there is this monopoly medical system where there's one voice for health in the CDC, and they're able to push down through all of the state and county medical systems, even though maybe a lot of them don't really believe, you know, what the CDC and DC is saying. But you've got this hierarchical top down, one size fits all country, you know, whole countrywide system that is being able to impose medical tyranny, through the government.
What about the cops, though, man? I mean, they're supposed to arrest people for criminal activity, right?
Well, so the cops would come out to our civil disobedience. We would do, we'd reopen parks, we'd reopen beaches, we'd have Liberty bonfires, and the police would come out and they'd say, hey, you can't be doing this. And we would stand on our natural law rights. We would stand on the Constitution. We'd stand, hey, you don't have the ability, you don't own the beach. There's never a point in time where the government got ownership of the beach. We're here.
And these bureaucrat orders from governors, they don't have any authority. Go check your supreme law of the land for the separation of powers, right?
Well, the politicians are trying to force the cops to use violence on peaceful people for things that aren't really crimes. And so, the police would come out and they'd say, hey, man, we get it. We don't want to be doing this either. What do you want us to do? And I had a little epiphany and I go, well, the strongest card in your hand is to say no collectively and to, you know, organize within the department and just refuse collectively to enforce any law that doesn't have a victim. And so you obviously can't use politician law to determine if a law is moral and just, because if you use politician law, you get fugitive slave laws and sundowner laws and Jim Crow laws.
And laws where people can't marry people or whatever else laws. That's how the marriage government scam started, right?
Absolutely. And so if you can't use politician law, then what are the police to use as a denominator of morality? How do you judge if a law is just and moral? And so what we do is we educate them on natural law with its 1,000-plus-year, you know, legal tradition across multiple different civilizations. And in natural law, there's five main transgressions. There's murder, rape, theft, assault, and trespass. And these are all obviously wrongs because there's a victim. And if you don't have a victim, it's not a crime. And the word right, a lot of people don't realize this. When you hear people say, I have a right to this, or I have a right to that, or I have a right to own a gun, the word right also comes out of the common law tradition, and a right is anything that's not a wrong. And so if you're not harming anybody else, then you have a right to be left alone by government and by the police and by the sheriff, et cetera. And so a lot of sheriffs, they're not instructed about this. They're not, they don't know anything about it. And so we're suggesting they draw a thick red line in the sand, use natural law as the denominator of morality, and then we help them. We build support in the community for them to tell the politicians no. We unite the people and the police against the politicians and encourage them to collectively say no, supported by the community.
So the idea, ladies and gentlemen, is, hey, you know what? Victimless crimes are not really crimes. That's kind of the point. And you're working with police officers, and you're doing so by an outreach of education. So join our next forum for officers is kind of the idea. You're trying to get all kinds of law enforcement people to mm-hmm. join your educational seminar mm-hmm. online on Zoom. You can sign up and be part of it. And really, it's an education to stand for peace?
It's to understand what makes a good law and a bad law, and that natural law really has to be the denominator because they obviously can't use politician law. And then that keeps them on the right side of karma. And so we're trying to, you know, we're trying to restore respect for the police. When the police are focused on busting murderers and robbers and rapists, then everybody loves the police. It really is only these victimless crimes that get everybody, you know, ticked at the cops and cause this racial and societal division. And so the cops don't want to be doing it. And so we're trying to get the cops to say no. And then we think that would restore respect for the police. That would save the taxpayers billions of dollars. It would keep hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people out of these, you know, frequently for-profit prisons where they're now being forced to work as slave labor. It would, you know, there's just a thousand good things that come out of it. Bust the backs of drug cartels, bust the backs of human traffickers. It really is. It's got all of these different benefits, and it restores respect for the police, and it ends the lockdowns, and it ends the mask mandates, and it ends the red flag laws, and it ends 80,000 SWAT team raids a year. Everybody wins except the politicians.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great place to stop here. Howard Lichtman doing a phenomenal job, as he always does, breaking down liberty, demonstrating a peaceful effort here. And, you know, you can say these guys are radical because they don't believe in government, and that they're the enemy or they're the problem, but I don't think so. Every time I find government becomes the aggressor. All right? So we had a panel with Kate Daly about is gun violence in America a problem or whatever. They started out saying, is gun violence a problem in America? And all the different panelists said no. And they talked about it for an hour. At the end, I got up and asked a question. I said, I agree that, you know, gun violence in America is not a problem. But I said, I want to rephrase the question slightly, because I believe this is the problem. Is government being armed to the teeth while disarming the American people, and that relating to gun violence, is that a problem? And every one of them said yes. None of them, in my opinion, took the ball and ran with it like they should have. They dropped the ball. They said yes, though they were right. But they could have carried that home to a real discussion about solutions. We got to disarm government. I'll tell you that right now. Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. Howard Lichtman interview continues on your favorite talk station.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody been having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Yeah, so they said, do we have a gun violence problem in America? And everybody said no. And then I said, do we have a government armed to the teeth while they disarm the American people violence problem in America? And the answer clearly was yes. No one had the guts to follow up on the discussion, sad to say. But I'm telling you right now, that is the issue, ladies and gentlemen. So Howard Lichtman, what we would call anarchists, they don't like that term anymore because it's been perverted and manipulated against their intention. The folks that are for live and let live, the folks who are for the voluntarist issues, the people, they're peaceful. Howard Lichtman doing a great job articulating his point of view. Very succinct, very educated, very articulate gentleman. He's fun to interview because he's so knowledgeable and he's involved in so many different solutions. Now, when we say this is for officers, how to redline your department, this is for chiefs, sheriffs, police officers, and deputies, I think that when they start out, they're pretty skeptical. But when they listen to what you have to say after a while, they're kind of nodding and going, yeah, I see. Okay. Right.
Yeah, well, we've met, I've personally met with over a dozen plus, you know, either sheriffs or chiefs, and they all have their favorite, they all seem to have their favorite victimless crime that they just can't let go. And so we're trying to create, you know, we're trying to raise money for a video series where we would address all of the issues around drug prohibition or gambling or victimless DUIs and the alternatives that they can still do. I personally have pulled over, you know, a drunk driver, you know, by getting behind him, flashing my lights, because I have the right to do that. I don't have the right to take $10,000 or $20,000 away from somebody that's 0.08 or some, you know, random, you know, like number. So I can't delegate a right I don't have myself to the government or to an officer to exercise a right I don't have to do myself. And so, you know, they're out there bankrupting people. I have a friend of mine. She, in her 20s, she got a DUI, a $10,000 plus DUI for going 0.08. And then a couple of years later, she was out drinking, realized that she'd had too much to drink, was pulled over on the side of the road, but had her key in the ignition when the officer came up and knocked, and she got a second $10,000 DUI for trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, we're thinking about what you're thinking about doing there.
Yeah, yeah, and it ruined her financially. Absolutely, positively ruined her financially. And so the police are ruining people's lives for politicians to pay for politician promises. It's just got to stop.
All right, tell me how the project helps them kind of redline their departments. This is really a way that they can use money frugally too, right?
Well, yeah. So the idea is it's easy for sheriffs. Sheriffs are the kind of low hanging fruit in this, in the sense the sheriff doesn't have a boss. The sheriff can wave his magic sheriff wand.
Well, the sheriff has We the People as a boss, though, right?
Well, they've got We the People, but you know what? I haven't met anybody yet. I would tell you if I had that actually, well, maybe one deputy that liked victimless crimes. But other than that, I've not met a single citizen anywhere that wants the police to be doing any of this stuff.
That's right.
And so it really does unite the people and the police against the politicians. The politicians are the ones that are passing these laws.
And now all the politicians want to run around and defund the cops too, that isn't helping their relationships, right?
It's not, and we're saying, hey, don't defund the police. Let's just stop the police from doing the things that cause the racial and the societal division. And it's always boils down to these victimless crimes.
Because when you deal with victimless crimes, you're talking about principles that applies to everybody. It's no respecter of persons, right?
Exactly. If there's not a real victim, then it's not a real crime. So you can call gambling a crime. I'll give you an example. When I used to live in Northern Virginia, and the Fairfax County SWAT team got wind of a high-stakes poker game run by like doctors, lawyers, venture capitalists. It had a $20,000 buy-in. And it got famous because they'd frequently have kind of the guys on TV, world, you know, poker championship of the world kind of people, and they would play in the games. And so word got out about this high-stakes game. So the Fairfax County SWAT team kicks in the door, points guns at everybody, steals the pot, and keeps 40% in civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah, criminal
Who
all around.
Is the criminal in that situation?
Right. Wow, they created a victim when they stole the money, didn't they?
It gets even better. This is a couple of years after a Fairfax County detective befriended a guy in a bar and got him to begin betting on football games. And after they got the guy over the $2,000 limit that made it a felony, they serve a warrant on him with a SWAT team. And the guy is like coming out to pay the detective, who he didn't know was a cop, in his pajamas and his slippers. He was an optometrist. Didn't have a criminal record at all. The first SWAT guy out of the SUV stumbles and shoots the guy dead.
Ouch.
And so this is the side effects of these, you know, victimless crimes and using SWAT teams. And it's a degree of criminality that's got to stop.
They're out of control.
They're out of control.
No doubt about it. So if you want to get your sheriff, your deputy, your police officers to sign up, they can go to
thickredline.org, and you can download our handbook for sheriffs, chiefs, officers, and deputies for free. And you can buy hard copies and our cards for cops. We've distributed over I want to say 1,600 copies of the handbook, and we've sold or distributed over 23,000 cards for cops all over the country.
And you're just getting started.
And we're just getting started.
All right. I like that, ladies and gentlemen. TheThickRedLine.org. Also, government, the biggest scam in history exposed. Government-scam.com. Last we talked, my friend, you were about to be Mr. and Mrs. Lichtman, right?
Well, I'm still engaged. We haven't set a date yet.
What do we got to do with you libertarian people that can't set dates? What's wrong with you people?
We're thinking about it. We're giving we're giving it careful consideration.
And what's the careful consideration part? The date?
We're trying to figure out where we can do it, when we can do it. There's a bunch of variables in play, but rest assured it's going to happen. We're just trying to figure out when.
All right, we're going to pray for you because, man, you need to get married. There's nothing better.
I know, man. I like it. I can't. I love my fiance.
And are you guys are going to get like a government like permission slip now?
We see no reason to involve intergenerational organized crime in our union.
So what do you do? Just make a little note in the Bible?
We'll have a commitment ceremony, and we'll do it right. But no reason to go down to the city hall.
but how about the reference in the Bible thing? Do you do that or no?
So we're both spiritual. Okay. We love the Word of Christ. What I would kind of call us spiritual.
All right. You can paint it in the sky.
Yeah.
Tell the neighbors.
Definitely believers. Definitely there's the good Lord is up there and helping us, and we see his actions in our everyday.
Yeah, so. He's the ultimate libertarian, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's an anarchist.
There you go. Or actually, what do you call it?
Voluntarist. It's the rebrand.
Yeah, the reason for the rebrand, ladies and gentlemen, is just because the dishonest media has been so dishonest with their definitions of words.
Yes.
So dishonest with their reference of who you really are. We just got an article that was released it's a Florida Today, but it's a division of USA Today, right? Mm-hmm. They just wrote an article about Richard Mack and me and others in the CSPOA just literally attacking us till the cows come home with just lie after lie after lie after lie. Trying to make these lawmen sheriffs out to be that they think they say we claim we're above the law. and I would say, first of all, above what law? Your criminal people running around making up a gazillion laws, maybe.
Sheriff Mack is on our board of advisors.
Not even close.
Sheriff Mack is on the Thick Red Line board of advisors.
All right, that's excellent.
We support his work at the CSP.
And what does that consist of?
We value his counsel, and we've done some media things together.
All right. Will you let me know how I can help?
ThickRedLine.org.
All right. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Sam.
There he goes. He's working on figuring out how to get married. Libertarians struggle with that. They don't set dates and stuff. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray hard for their success because it's a blessed thing. All right. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it. Howard Lichtman, always fun to talk to. I really have respect for Becky Akers, Howard Lichtman. Some of these people that, you would consider an anarchist. Most people, when they hear an anarchist, when they hear racist or whatever, in the past, they've just kind of gone, oh, my goodness, you can't even talk to those people. But now that everybody's a racist, everybody's anti-government, everybody's an anarchist, obviously not facts, but that's how they kind of paint it, right? All I can tell you is that just goes to show that, you know what, their narrative is bogus. And more Americans are starting to understand that, you know what, just because the mainstream says I'm a racist, it doesn't mean it's true. I literally met hundreds of people at Freedom Fest. I don't know what race they are. Okay, I don't care what race they are. I don't know what race Howard Lichtman is. I don't know what race Raphael is. You would say, well, Sam, Raphael, isn't he Hispanic? Maybe. I don't know, but does it matter is what I would ask. Do I care? Look, Raphael was a nice guy. Howard was a nice guy. Okay? And I don't care. Interestingly enough, is Bob Barr white? He was the panel moderator. I sat between two females on the panel. I don't know what race either of them were. Do I care? No. I thought the people on the panel were great, and I thought Bob Barr... he's this typical politician guy, right? Need I say more? All right, hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
North and South Korea's leaders have pledged to improve relations and resume previously suspended communication channels between the two countries. The resumption of the hotline on Tuesday comes despite stalled negotiations between Washington and Pyongyang on the denuclearization of North Korea during the Trump administration. Two significant U.S. lakes, one of which is a major reservoir, are experiencing historic lows amid a drought. Lake Powell, the second largest reservoir in the United States, has fallen to 33% capacity. Utah's Great Salt Lake, the biggest saltwater lake in the Western Hemisphere, is at record lows that were set back in 1963. The Biden administration moved to further limit America's military presence in the Middle East. On Monday, President Biden met with Iraq's Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi and vowed to end America's combat mission in the country before 2022. USA Radio News.
If you drive a car, truck, SUV, or vehicle of any kind, you need GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. That's right. With the free GetUpside gas app, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you buy gas. Nearly 3 million people have earned cash back with GetUpside just for buying gas.
I always use GetUpside. Some months, I make $200 to $300.
I love getting money back for things I use every day. It's just free money for buying gas.
There's no catch. It's simple. And you get your cash back right away.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents per gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Earn cash back on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BEACH for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BEACH.
Let's get an Olympic update with Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau.
Lydia Jacoby became the first swimmer from Alaska to capture Olympic gold when she won the 100-meter breaststroke Tuesday in Tokyo. The 17-year-old's victory came as an upset as she outpaced teammate and defending Olympic champion Lily King, who finished third. Before Tuesday, King hadn't lost in a 100-meter breaststroke final since December of 2016. And Flora Duffy won the women's triathlon, giving Bermuda its first ever gold medal. Duffy finished the race in 1 hour, 55 minutes, and 36 seconds, more than a minute in front of second-place finisher Georgia Taylor Brown of Great Britain. Only one other Bermudan had brought home an Olympic medal. Clarence Hill won bronze in heavyweight boxing in Montreal in 1976. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer was assaulted and robbed of her cell phone in Oakland on Monday afternoon. Boxer tweeted that she was robbed while walking near her apartment in the area of Jack London Square. Boxer claims the suspect never said a single word. He just shoved her to the ground forcefully and stole her cell phone. USA Radio News.
All right, running everything all by myself, it's crazy. You know what's interesting? I usually run the show all by myself, and then we started to have a producer run the show for me to make things easier and for me to focus on the show. And man, when I'm not in practice, it's kind of rough. Anyway, I sure appreciate a producer. I sure appreciate Cameron and Jay and others doing such a phenomenal job on the radio. I'm grateful for them. All right, I've got an interview with Jared Taylor. This is about education from the Freedom Fest event. Here it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. FreedomFest.com marches forward, interview after stellar interview. Why are they stellar? Because the guests are just top-notch, to say the least. We've got Jared Taylor with me now, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Taylor lives in the great state of Arizona, where it is hotter than Hades. But you know what? They got some great education there. He is the CEO of Heritage Academy Arizona, or heritageacademyaz.com is the website to learn more. Heritage Academy, a series of schools that, well, it was born. What, your father started this kind of stuff, and then you continued the generational legacy, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, your father's Earl Taylor, well-known in Utah and Arizona and all over the West for starting new educational opportunities. Why? Because the current systems were just, what, riddled with problems?
You know, when he looked at the different school systems, he recommended various curriculums that would teach freedom and liberty and prosperity. And Most of them just weren't interested in those topics, and so that's really why he wanted to put a school of choice out that had a great emphasis and deep understanding of the Constitution and the things that make us free and prosperous.
So what did he put out first? He's been involved in, he's had his hand in quite a few things, right?
Well, even before Heritage, he was the president of the National Center for Constitutional Studies.
NCCS, one of the great organizations that we literally work with all the time in books and materials and everything else, so that's a great start.
Yep.
Cleon Skousen was involved there for quite a while, right, as well?
Yep, that's correct.
Excellent. Go ahead, sir.
And then actually, the director of the Goldwater Institute, his name was Jeff Flake. You might know him as a former U.S. senator in Arizona.
Yeah.
They were long time.
Kind of flaked out after that, but I understand.
Well, yeah. he called my dad. He was an incredible proponent of charter legislation in 93, got it passed, and asked my dad and a bunch of other people to come learn about it. Once they learned about it, they realized there was great opportunities to provide choice in Arizona. And so he applied. He got the fourth charter in the very first year of Arizona. And this year we're celebrating our 27th operating year in Arizona. I'm very happy. We're going to serve up to 3,000 students this year. It's great.
Wow, that's a lot of students. And they're all on campus? I guess there's more than one campus?
They're all on campus. They don't have masks on. They have smiles on.
Yes. Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. So that's your father's kind of history. I don't mean to focus on your father, but I wanted to set the stage for really, you basically learned about education from the cradle, right?
You know, this was what was on the kitchen table pretty much all the time, is talking about current events and principles. And I was able to meet Dr. Skousen many years ago, went to a number of his seminars and classes and talked to him personally. He was at the dinner table definitely raised up in the principles of freedom and liberty.
So tell me your path then. You went to higher level education, right?
Yeah, so after high school, I served a two-year mission in South Africa and saw an interesting version of socialism there known as apartheid. It was awful.
It was brutal, wasn't it?
It was. I was there just as Mandela was getting elected and the nation was about to erupt in civil war. And so it was interesting, but I was so grateful for those black people that were able to vote for the very first time in their life. That was an unbelievable time in world history. But I came back and got an undergraduate degree in business, a graduate degree in business, both from Arizona State University. So go Sun Devils.
There you go.
Married my beautiful wife, Diane. Worked for 10 years in corporations in high-tech global manufacturing. Really enjoyed that, but it became a little bit old, and told my dad, hey, if you ever need any help, love to come help you. So now instead of building car parts and cell phone parts, we build young men and young women, and it's so much more rewarding.
We educate hearts and minds. So tell us about the charter schools, because a lot of people say, you know what, I agree they're school choice, but they're still a government school. That part's true, right?
Here's the difference.
No,
the way
that
I describe
part's true,
it,
right?
Part true.
Okay. However, let's talk about the distinctions
school.
Now. Mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the distinctions, because that's really where when your father went down and when you guys kind of learned about this, you kind of understood that the opportunity is. It's that difference that creates the opportunity, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because it's privately operated, it's not publicly operated, and that's the big difference. So we have great discretion over our curriculum.
See, that is a key difference that's really important, ladies and gentlemen, that you got to understand. That's where the whole term school choice comes from, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so tell me how you guys got the principles and stuff like that you put together in the curriculum that you're using then for HeritageAcademyAZ.com.
So my father had been teaching many years, as you mentioned, with Dr. Skousen and National Center for Constitutional Studies, so he already had an installed base of curriculum there. At the end of the day, we teach the principles that are in the Constitution and Declaration. So it's something that's been around for a very long time, but we're able to package it not for some pedantic college class or some law school where everybody goes to sleep, but where it really lights a fire and ignites in the hearts and minds of our young people the ideals and values of the great men and women who founded our country. And that's what it's all about, because our theme and vision at Heritage is to build America's heroes. And boy, do we need them.
Build America's heroes. And the way you do that is you tether them to their history. You tether them to heroes of the past that makes you want to live like them and adopt their governing values and learn who they are and then do your very best to measure up, if you will. It takes a lot of work, a lot of grit, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but you know what? It is doable, and that's the message, right?
Yeah, it's such a freedom is such a gift, and it's something that we can't take for granted. It can be lost in one generation. It's Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan reminded us.
So, is the school day like a normal school day? Tell me how it all works.
We run a four-day block, so we don't actually have school on Fridays, which is great.
And I bet the kids are going, yeah, come on.
Yep, they all do homework on Fridays, right? Maybe. So, but otherwise, it's, you know, two classes lunch, another two classes. They're involved in very, very rich academics, but we also surround them with state champion level athletics and very high level arts as well. So it's very well-rounded. But I'll tell you, even above what we teach above liberty and freedom and the curriculum, my dad put in our mission statement that the purpose of education is to build strong character. And he felt that that was so important because if you reflect on what John Adams said, that this country, this Constitution is only based for a moral and virtuous people. I'm destroying the quote there a little bit. But it relies on a moral and virtuous people. The founders talked a lot about civic virtue. You have to have young people grow up to be adults that love their country, that are loyal, that are honest, that are patient and kind with one another. That's what a civil society is based on. And just this week, I reminded my new teachers, I said, isn't a civil society and civilized human beings with strong character more needed now than ever?
All right, I want to talk about this, though. Is this kindergarten through 12th?
We are junior high and high school this year, but we are starting our first elementary school this next year.
All right, and do you start with, say, 6th grade going down, or are you going to do the whole shooting match at once?
Well, right now we're 6 through 12. We have four campuses, about 3,000 students. So we're going to have an elementary at one of our sites, and that'll be from K to 12 at that particular site. So we're very, very excited about that.
Is it hard to find teachers that get it, sir?
Yes. And
I know that's a big challenge is why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. It very much is, because you don't actually get that. In fact, in 2015, I was appointed to the State Board of Education in Arizona by Governor Doug Ducey. And there was a lot of things I voted against, and one of the things I voted against, I got it knocked down once, but eventually we got overwhelmed by it, was an updated version of the teacher prep standards. So these are what's required for teachers to learn in the teacher prep programs all across the state of Arizona.
And when we say learn, what we mean by that is this is the curriculum that they're taught, that's pushed on them.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And the prior standards, there were five of them. They were very simple. They were non-political. But the standards that were pushed on us from some stupid think tank out of Washington, D.C., we had expanded it to about 10 to 15, and they were very convoluted, but they were explicit in that you need to be teaching social justice and equity and all of that political nonsense.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, there you have it. Incredible interview continuing. Yeah, we're talking to Jared Taylor about education. Even in the charter schools, they're supposed to have a lot of autonomy. Ooh, they're trying to strike hard at that, aren't they? Quick pause, more in seconds on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
One of the great questions is, can the power of love save us all, ladies and gentlemen? And the answer is, I think so, if we're talking about the right kind of love. The love that Jesus Christ provides through his sacrifice, no doubt, can indeed save us all. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm spiritual, Sam. I'm not, whatever. I get it. I understand. But I also say that love can save us all, the right kind of love. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing this interview with Jared Taylor.
And like I said, we got it knocked down once, but they came back with 2 hours of testimony and all these letters from the universities, and I just couldn't get the votes to overturn it. And now in Arizona, the teacher prep programs are required to teach social justice and all of that nonsense.
And do you have to have those, quote, credentialed teachers that have done that, or does the charter school give you enough autonomy?
No, we do. We can hire people that come outside of that, but the large number of people that apply do come from the college teacher prep programs. So we definitely look for the people that actually have, you know, the background and maybe a bachelor's of science in history or mathematics for a math job or sure. Biology or something like that. So I tell people don't go through the teacher prep programs, frankly, because I want someone that's deep in a content knowledge rather than someone just knows how to write curriculum.
You know, there's a secretary of agriculture, Ezra Taft Benson, back in the Eisenhower administration. He taught a principle that you've got to unlearn all the wrong things that you've learned so that now you're open-minded enough to actually learn the truth of the matter, right?
Yep. Yep, and there's still some great people and that's an interesting thing about teachers is because it's kind of liberty's a clean sheet of paper for them. They've been told a lot of things.
Yeah, they've been indoctrinated, manipulated for so long.
Yeah, but it doesn't resonate with their values.
Of course not.
And sure. So they're looking for something that does resonate with their values. And so when we come with them and we say we're teaching Jefferson as Jefferson taught and Washington as Washington taught, they said, yeah, that's, you know what, I like that. That does resonate. That makes a lot of sense. You know, freedom makes sense.
And then they go on a quest and say, what did they teach, right?
Right, exactly.
And that quest is self-driven. It's not forced down their throats. It's self-driven, self-led, because they start to hear real stories, and they start to learn about real governing values, and they start to learn about real people doing hard things and succeeding, and then they get excited, right?
Well, freedom resonates with everybody. People want to be free. And it's natural for someone to want to be self-deterministic and self-governing and so forth. So yeah, it works really well.
Heritage or Heritage Academy dot or AZ.com. Heritage Academy AZ.com. And what have I overlooked? I know we don't have time to cover everything in a short interview, but what have I overlooked that you really want everybody to know?
Well, we love what we do. We're committed to the growth and development of young people, and that's what it's all about. What happens in our schools today is a reflection of our society in the future, and so that's what we're trying to do, just build good people that know something about freedom and liberty and they're ready to serve. And that's how we're building America's heroes. So thank you for your minute today in talking about this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Taylor. He's president and CEO of Heritage Academy. They got four campuses in Arizona, 3,000 students, charter school with quite a bit of autonomy. It's surprising of the autonomy they've managed to build into some of these new school choice options. HeritageAcademyAZ.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible interview with Jared Taylor from Arizona talking about solutions, baby. You got to dig that. You got to love it. We need more solutions, if you will. A quick recap, then. We've had three incredible interviews, fresh interviews. Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org. Let's see. Carla Howell, singer, songwriter, CarlaHowell.com. Then Howard Lickman, ThickRedLine.org, Government-Scam.com, incredible guest. So that's, what, three guests. And then Jared Taylor, president and CEO of Heritage Academy, AZ.com. Building America's Heroes is their slogan, their goal. Amen to all that. So four incredible interviews just in the two-hour show today. That's just some of the content that I've been able to put together at Freedom Fest while not being able to be live. So there you have that. As you could tell, my voice is kind of going out too. So these interviews have been a blessing to save my voice, if you will. And I didn't want to have a guest today because I wanted to get to a lot of these interviews. I don't want time to go by before you can hear them. I do want to highlight a topic that I find interesting. Headline says this: millions of Americans getting stranded as airlines melt down. No doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. American Airlines literally canceling thousands of flights. Headline says American Airlines just slashed nearly 1,000 July flights as woes mount. Millions of Americans are getting stranded. American Airlines melting down. Now, the next headline says this: Southwest Airlines concedes summer flight woes, pledges fix, USA Today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough with the airlines melting down, but they're literally canceling flights, and they're doing so blaming it on the weather. And sometimes it may be the weather, I don't deny that, but really oftentimes staffing problems at the core of this. What they did was, because nobody could fly by force of government, the airlines ratcheted their processes and their capabilities down so far that now that there's a resurgence in travel, they cannot handle the load. Now, I know there's a bunch of problems and you can't blame it on one issue, but that is the core. The government meddling in and forcing these businesses to, for the most part, shut down or be so minimalistic in the amount of flights that people were allowed to go on, that now that when the society's coming back, they can't handle the load. They don't have the workers. They don't have the staff. Everybody's been furloughed. A lot of the staff has gone and looked for and found other jobs, etc. It is disaster. But the airlines, I believe, are headed for a very dismal future. You can't rely on them anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you an example. I just went to Freedom Fest, and I set up a flight to go out on Wednesday morning. I was going to be there in time to meet everybody and do everything I needed to do Wednesday morning. It was going to be great. We were all excited. It was wonderful. But then all of a sudden, Delta emails me and says, we've moved your flight to the evening. Literally like 10 hours later. 9 hours later. Which means I would have missed everything that I had intended to go to, right? So then I said, we'll move my flight to the previous day. They did. Great. Awesome. Whoa, hold on. They moved it to the evening of the previous day, not the morning, which again caused me problems, because they canceled all the morning flights, not just mine. So eventually I had to cancel my flights and drive. So we literally rented a car and drove to the event 10 hours each way. And I just chalked that up to, well, they made one change and I had my issues, and therefore that, you know, bigger deal than it was, no big deal, fine. But that was a massive problem because they canceled flights. They canceled flights because they don't have the staff. They don't have the staff because government shut them down. Right? Well, then now my buddies are flying from Freedom Fest, South Dakota, Rapid City, to Florida. They go to the airport. Well, first off, when they went to the airport in the very beginning to travel to the Freedom Fest, their flight was delayed over 7 hours. So they're supposed to get there early in the morning, like 9 or 11 o'clock in the morning. They didn't get there till 5 in the afternoon, kind of a thing. Just disaster, right? Anyway, so that happened. That was on their way to the Freedom Fest. But then on the way back, it got worse. It wasn't just a delayed flight, like over 7 hours, and it moved them to a different transfer city. They literally had their flight delayed. Then they got on the flight. They got rerouted to Charlotte. Then Charlotte had weather. So they sat on the plane for like 7 hours because of a so-called storm. Then they got to their flight, but they ran to make it, and the flight was delayed, and then the flight was canceled. So now they're stuck in Charlotte, North Carolina. Their flight home was canceled, the second leg of their flight. And the airline says it's due to weather. It's not our fault. There's nothing we can do. So now they're forced to go get a hotel. They're trying to rent a car. There's no cars available because the car industry is melting down too. Yes, it is. All right. Car rental costs are spiking. If you can even find a vehicle, in their case, they can't find a vehicle. Well, when I tried to get a car to go out there now to drive because my flights got all messed up, I couldn't hardly find a vehicle. I finally found one, but the costs are out of control. It was double what it should have been. Rental car rates skyrocketing. Rental car costs surge to record highs. Why? Because rental car companies had to purchase cars for higher prices because they're renting them for, now they're renting them for much more. So you literally got this situation where now the car rental companies are melting down. They can't get enough vehicles. What do? Well, they got rid of a lot of their fleets because they can't just have old vehicles sitting around forever. Now they're trying to buy new vehicles to ramp up again, but they can't. Why? Because there's not enough chips for cars. Why? Because they shut down the chip plants. Why? Supposedly because of the COVID. No, really, because government overreaction to the COVID. Now we're paying again. So inflation, literally at the helm everywhere. Out of control. Crazy. Just a problem. So you've got airlines that are melting down. You've got car companies that are melting down. I wouldn't say hotels are melting down. I would say, though, they're charging more and getting a premium. And they're doing less for us. Whenever I go to a hotel now, they're like, we're not going to clean your room. You know what? Call us in if you need us. Come to the front desk and get towels, but we're not going to clean your room. It's the COVID, don't you know? But you would think a cleaner room would be less COVID, but no. Anyway, what they're really doing is saving money. So a lot of the reaction you see to COVID is because government forced everyone to shut down, and now they can't ramp back up. A lot of the problem is that because of all the mandates and all the extra requirements of compliance and everything else, these businesses just can't handle it. And because everybody's business is on the rope financially, because of the government overreaction to the COVID, now you have a situation where all these businesses are just trying to save enough money to stay in business. So now you got less service and higher costs at hotels. You struggle to rent a car. If you can get one at all, it's double, triple the cost. If you want to get a plane ride, good luck. They'll probably cancel your flight. I mean, you literally have Southwest Airlines, one of the best in the business, at least in recent modern times, now saying they're only making 62% of their flights on time. That's a dismal, horrible record. It's all because of government's reaction to the COVID, ladies and gentlemen. It's bogus. But expect travel costs to rise out of control. And expect the reliability of your current traditional travel to be at an all-time low. If you want to travel, beware, I'm warning you, you ought to drive. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully the broadcast is educational and entertaining. Hard-hitting, that's for sure. Thanks so much for being along. Hard-hitting talk continues tomorrow. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. Tell your friends and neighbors to listen, will you please? LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com, spread the word. God save the Republic of the United States of America.